All right, we continue looking at stories that are hot in the news this morning, and we continue having special conversations today. We have another special interview. This time around, Anita is joining us, on RHB. I would like to say good morning, Anita. Welcome to the Red Hot Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm honored to be here.
All right. So today, we have a special interview with Anita. We'll be looking at Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies.
Mm.
Yeah. So we're glad to welcome Anita to the Red Hot Breakfast. Anita is a Bitcoin advocate, author, host of the Anita Posch Show. She is a member of the board of Bitcoin Austria, an educational nonprofit organization. Her goal is to bring Bitcoin to billions through educational work. And she has since developed a Bitcoin podcast, a YouTube channel, and wrote the book N Bitcoin. Anita, one more time, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
All right, so you flew into Zambia over the weekend. Is this your first time here? And what are some of your early impressions about our country?
Yeah, it's the first time here. I was in Zimbabwe 2 years ago and I came back this year. And a guy from Zambia actually asked me, won't you come to Zambia? And I thought, yeah, why not? It's the next country.
Yeah,
right. And so I came here for a week now. I'm here until Thursday and did a talk at the University of Zambia, and we're doing a Bitcoin workshop today, and my impressions are very good. It's very nice. People are very kind. I haven't seen a lot of the land so far. I've been in Lusaka all the time,
yeah.
But today I'm going to be going out of town to the friend's place, which will be nice.
Have you had some shima, for example?
No.
You haven't had that?
What is that?
Our staple food here.
I'm not sure. Is it mice?
No.
What is it, Shima?
Who lied to you? Somebody's lying to Anita.
No.
It's like a pop from maize meal.
Maize meal, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean maize. I meant maize. I said mice.
Oh, it sounded like
not
mice.
I heard you say mice. So I was like, oh my God.
Oh
Did
my
you
God.
Land in the Eastern Province?
No. Sorry. That was just my pronunciation.
Okay. It's okay, Anita.
I'm sure you're not eating mice here.
Where I'm from.
Well, he's from the Eastern Province.
I'm from the Eastern Province. We eat mice.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. It's a delicacy there. So,
okay.
You are well within your rights to say we eat mice. Okay. So, it's okay.
Only you guys eat mice.
We eat mice.
The rest of the country doesn't. Anyway, you're here to promote the use of Bitcoin in Zambia. So, for someone who just got off the bus, what is Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and how do they work?
So the great thing about Bitcoin is, and I speak mainly about Bitcoin because I'm focused on Bitcoin only, because I believe it's the most neutral, new, open financial global network. Bitcoin is basically the native internet money. And the great innovation was that you can use it to send money globally in a short time, at no cost almost, and permissionless, without the need of banks. So you don't need intermediaries anymore, because earlier on you needed the banks to verify that transactions are okay, so that the people really have the money they send.
Right.
But with the innovation of Bitcoin, you don't need that anymore. It's everything secured through the software, through the protocol, and all the nodes and all the complete network of it. So that's the great innovation, that you can send money peer-to-peer, like cash. It's digital cash, basically, that belongs to you and it cannot be taken from you. So that's a great innovation, and it's like the new invention of money in a way.
Okay. So in simpler terms, how does Bitcoin and cryptos differ from our conventional hard cash?
Oh, so from conventional hard cash, like, you can send it. You can beam it.
Okay.
And the one big difference is also that it cannot be inflated. So our current cash is the national currency of all countries worldwide, is being inflated all the time. So, you know, in Zambia, I think last year you had an inflation rate of 23%. That means that if you have 100 kwacha at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, it only has a value of like 75 kwacha. Yeah. So, and this is not happening in Bitcoin, because there are no people who can influence the protocol, you know. There's nobody controlling it. It's a system of rules without rulers. So it cannot be corrupted by people who are powerful and want to change it to their own good, for instance. And that's the big difference to the cash we know. But at the same time, it's digital cash. So okay. It has all the properties of cash. You are pseudonymous. If you exchange it, nobody can track it. Nobody can take it away from you. So it makes you very independent.
All right, great. We are having breakfast with Anita here, talking all things cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin to be precise as well, right here on your hot station, number one for news and entertainment.
All right, you're still tuned in to the Red Hot Breakfast here on Hot 87.7, number one for news and entertainment. In the studio with us, we still have Anita Posh. She is all about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. She's a member of the board of the Bitcoin Austria, an educational nonprofit organization. She has a Bitcoin podcast, a YouTube channel, and is also an author. And so we are talking about Bitcoin. I mean, this is a topic that a lot of people would like to understand, further. So. You are from a nonprofit organization, like mentioned, called Bitcoin for Fairness. And since coming into Lusaka, you have had some engagements, including one at the University of Zambia the other day that you talked about. Tell us about Bitcoin for Fairness and what have you found out about Zambia and Bitcoin adoption here?
Yeah, so Bitcoin for Fairness' goal is to bring knowledge to the countries where I think that need Bitcoin the most. So the countries with high inflation, we have 4.2 billion people living in countries with authoritarian rulers, and those people don't really have all the human rights that they should have. And we at Bitcoin for Fairness believe that Bitcoin is the embodiment of human rights in a way, because it allows for free speech in a way. Nobody can censor your Bitcoin. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it can exchange it into another currency for his or her own good, you know. The government can't interfere. And if you're a human rights activist, for instance, you can set up your own donation page and receive donations from all over the world, and the government or your political opponents, for instance, they cannot cut you off from your bank account. So this is really a tool that is very helpful. And also with the countries with very high inflation, if you think long term and try to save a little bit of Bitcoin in the long term, you will gain value over 5 to 10 years. And speaking of the adoption in Zambia, I think it's just starting out. I mean, I visited Yellow Card, which is the first exchange here in Zambia, in Lusaka, and has offices here. So, and they told me they see a lot of growth, a lot of interest in people who want to exchange Kwacha to Bitcoin and stable coins and things like that. And I think it's very important to share knowledge, because I also heard about a lot of scams here. And so that's the goal of Bitcoin for Fairness, to share our knowledge and build a bridge also from Africa to the Western world, because we don't know anything about you guys here, what you're doing, what you're building. And I also want to communicate that, what's going on here, how innovative you are, and all those things.
All right. So as it stands, Bitcoin or cryptos is not, legal tender in Zambia. The central bank recently issued a statement that it was, conducting research on the use of cryptos and hopes to conclude the research by the end of the fourth quarter this year. What do you make of this?
So Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are not illegal here, so you can use it. It's just there is no regulation by the government yet. This is a stage or a phase we also had in Europe. You know, when Bitcoin was invented in 2009, up until some years later, no government had any regulation and no idea how to regulate it, because you can't regulate Bitcoin. Look to Nigeria, they have banned the use of Bitcoin, but people are trading and using it even more. And because they know about the positive effects it has on their lives. So regulation is good for companies to build in a secure environment, in a secure business environment. It's good to have a little bit of regulation to educate people about scams so that they don't get scammed. But other than that, I think over-regulation, as we have it in the traditional banking system, where you need to KYC and ID yourself for every little bank account, and that is excluding billions of people of having a bank account. Mm. So they can't get a loan, they can't save money, which is a disadvantage. It's a big disadvantage. And with Bitcoin, we can include all those people because you don't need an ID. You don't have to ask anyone. Mm. And you can't join Bitcoin because it's just a neutral internet protocol. And that's so fascinating about it. And it will change the world just like the internet did. Because now you have... Think of all the things that the internet has made possible, and now add value to it. You can send internet money globally for free almost.
Yeah. Right, right. Now, how would you tackle skepticism around Bitcoin on account of low understanding of digital financial platforms?
Yeah, you're right. I think the basic problem is the low financial literacy. So people are getting scammed not only with cryptocurrency schemes, which are not really Bitcoin, but only with other things. Yeah, I mean, just recently I read here in Lusaka, 200 people were ripped off their kwacha because they were told they can get 100% interest in 3 months or something, yeah? Mm. I mean, these are things which are not possible. You can't get rich quick, also not with Bitcoin, yeah? So, yes, education is key, I think. Sharing knowledge and also maybe focusing on Bitcoin because it was the first cryptocurrency and it's still the biggest one. And I think it's, as I said, the most neutral one. It can be the neutral global reserve in a few years, because every big country like Russia, the US and China or African countries can agree on a neutral standard because no country can influence it. And so I believe that's really important that people learn about it, that they can take up jobs in this area in the coming years. There will be a huge innovation and new business models coming out of it. And so it's a big job machine in a way too.
All right. Now, for a country like Zambia, how do you think the use of cryptos and digital currency would, you know, help the country?
For instance, I learned that the country has a lot of hydropower, like water. So you could set up hydropower stations. You could set up solar power because you have so much sun and start mining your own Bitcoin. So I don't know if you heard about that, but El Salvador has made Bitcoin legal tender last year, and they have a lot of volcanoes, and they started to take the energy that's basically free and very ecological from the volcano and started mining Bitcoin, which means they are producing with their natural resource their own Bitcoin. And they can save it as a reserve for the currency, for the country. And then if they hold it long enough, like 5 to 10 years, they can become much more independent from the US or from other big countries. Like from like you in Africa and also, I guess, in Zambia, you're indebted with debt from abroad, from Russia, China, and the US. And with Bitcoin, you could gain a little more independence, even more if you start early. The first countries are starting too. We will see this year maybe another country making Bitcoin legal tender. I've heard from Tanzania, the president has advised the central bank to look into Bitcoin. In South Africa, it is recognized as a digital asset already. So I think the earlier also the country embraces this new technology, the better it is.
Okay. Now, if someone is listening and they would like to start trading in cryptos, what is the beginner's guide to online currency trading, a starter pack?
So I think online currency trading is not a thing that regular people should do because they will lose money. Online trading is a profession. So if you want to do it professional, then do this, but you have to learn a lot. And for the regular people, they shouldn't trade. I think they should use it as a means of exchange, which enables them, for instance, if you have family in the UK, they can send you the remittances now via the Lightning Network in 10 seconds, you have your $50 in Bitcoin on your wallet in your home. You don't have to go to MoneyGram or Western Union and pay the high fees anymore. Mm. So for me, it's more a means of exchange, a payment rail that is unstoppable. It's less something I don't trade. I'm not interested in that, yeah, because I just wait. I save in Bitcoin and I just wait. I don't have to do this. What is now cryptocurrency? Which one is which? And what's the best? For me, that's, I mean, of course, if you want to do it as a job, as a profession, do it. So I don't have any recommendations on that other than if you're a regular person and only want to save and use Bitcoin, then do this and don't think about the other cryptocurrencies.
What are the risks?
The risks in general for if you're using Bitcoin is one is you always have to hold your own password, your own keys. There are a lot of exchanges where people have their Bitcoin, like big exchanges like Kraken or Binance and things like that. Mm. If you have your Bitcoin there, it's basically like a bank account. It's not your Bitcoin. It's an account at Binance.
Okay.
They could stop you. Yeah, they could say, no, we don't have the funds at the moment. You can't cash it out. Or the government may come and say, all Binance accounts in Zambia have to be closed now. It's like with the mobile money providers. They are also centralized companies that can be influenced or are influenced by the government and can be shut down. So the safest way is to store your Bitcoin in an open source wallet, like the Moon wallet or the Blue wallet, where you get 12 English words that you have to write down on a sheet of paper. You have heard from a lot of people who've lost their keys to their Bitcoin. Mm. So they didn't write down those words. Mm. Or they had it on a computer and their computer got hacked. So don't store it in a computer or on your phone. Keep this sheet of paper very secure because it gives you access to your Bitcoin wherever you are in the world. Even if your smartphone breaks down, with those words, you can get access again.
Okay. So from your vantage point, give us an outlook for cryptos and digital currencies, say, for the next 5 to 10 years. And maybe you can give us your last remarks as you close out.
Yes, thank you. So I believe at the moment we know of around 100 million Bitcoin and Bitcoin users around the world. We know that from exchange numbers, but we don't know the number, the real number, because you don't have to identify yourself. You can use it in a pseudonymous way. So I believe that in the coming 5 to 10 years, Bitcoin will become a tool for many more million people. I think it will be, I guess, 1 billion in 10 years or something, if I have to estimate something, you know. It will become something we are not talking about anymore, like the same way we're not talking about the use of WhatsApp, you know. Everybody knows how WhatsApp is working, but like 10 years ago, it didn't even exist.
Yeah.
So that's the way how technology is making its way through the society and through into our lives. And I think that Bitcoin will be a unstoppable part of our lives in the future. And I hope that it can, if you people here in African countries start early on, that it's like a little bit of a historic reparation to the disadvantages you have in many countries to the Western world. And so, please look into it, educate yourself about it before you go somewhere and trade Bitcoin or exchange it. Be aware of scams. You can't get rich quick. If somebody is asking you if you want to join Bitcoin, be aware. You can't join Bitcoin. It's an open network. You can be a part of it anyhow. And or if somebody says you have to buy a starter package, or you have to bring in your friends and family now, that's mostly a pyramid scheme or a scam. Right. So be aware of that, but educate yourself. It's the future.
Okay. All right.
I love it. I love the education there. Most of the times we've heard of cryptocurrencies in this country is being sold as a get-rich-quick scheme. And I love the fact that you've just highlighted that and, you know, put that to bed.
Yeah. So that can stop now, isn't
yeah.
it? Anita, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and have some Njuma.
No mice. Yeah. No.
You can try the mice. It's delicious, I promise you.
Yes. Why not? I mean.
Anita Posh is an author. She's also a YouTuber and a podcaster as well. She's a member of the board of Bitcoin Austria, an educational nonprofit organization.